بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the book reading of حياة الصحابة, Volume 1. We have reached page 131. In the last week, we had read regarding how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had invited his family to Islam, how he invited them towards a dinner, and then after feeding them, after and during, while he was feeding them, he showed them miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed him with. And then he invited them towards worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learned how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life, throughout different circumstances, incidents, invited different people to Islam. While he was walking, while he was traveling in different situations, how he invited different people towards Islam. This is an example for us that when we are moving around, that we should be giving da'wah to people. We should be calling people towards good. We should be calling people towards Islam. Let us carry on reading. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travels by foot to convey the da'wah of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks to Taif. Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu anhu narrates that after his uncle Abu Talib had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled on foot to Taif to invite the people to Islam. However, they did not accept his dawah and he had to return. On the way back, he took shade beneath a tree, performed two rak'ah salah, and made the following dua, the translation of which is, O Allah, only to you do I communicate my weakness and lack of importance among people. O the most merciful of those who show mercy, you are certainly the most merciful of those who show mercy. To whom shall you hand me over? To an enemy who will treat me harshly, or to a near one to whom you shall give control over me? If you are not angry with me, I care for nothing except that your protection should be vast enough for me. In your countenance, by which multitudes of darkness are turned to light, and by which the affairs of this world and the Akhirah are remedied, I seek protection from being afflicted by your wrath and displeasure. The causes of your displeasure should be removed until you are pleased. There is no might but with Allah. A more detailed narration from Zuhri rahmatullah alayh shall be quoted in the chapter concerning the difficulties that were born for the sake of da'wah. My dear respected brothers and sisters, this was one of the difficulties and one of the efforts that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made. That in the effort to give da'wah towards Islam, in the effort to call people towards Islam, he traveled to Taif. And how did he travel to Taif? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled to Taif by foot. And we all know the story of Taif, that how he was pelted with stones until he was covered in blood to such an extent that his footwear stuck to his feet. This was the sacrifice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured to establish deen. He endured this to establish deen. And even after this, according to the narration, Jibreel Islam came to him and said that the angels that control the true mountains are under my control. If you wish, I can crush Taif, this city. Nabi Sassam said no. Then he did dua that if they don't become Islam, their progeny, their generation should become Islam. And this is what also happened. So even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after being pelted by them, after being stoned by them, instead of showing anger, instead of taking revenge, he chose mercy. He chose leniency. Not only did he choose mercy and leniency, he also did dua for them that they accept Islam and their generations accept Islam. This was the greatness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, someone does something small to us and we become very angry. We become ready to fight. We become ready to take revenge. And here, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone far greater than me and you, someone far greater than us, When he was stoned, what did he do? He did dua. He did dua. And then after that, when he took shade in the tree, he did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. That Allah, Ya Allah, if you are happy with me, then I am happy. Why? Because this is the most important thing. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And from this narration we learned that hardly anybody became Muslim at that time. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not lose hope. He didn't become despair. He kept on making the efforts. He kept on calling people towards Islam. This is also a test for us. That when we make one effort of the deen, we may not see results. We make another effort, we may not see results. It might take us many years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us results. But we should not give up. We keep making our efforts. Nuh alayhi salam invited the people for 950 years. Nuh alayhi salam, he invited the people towards Islam for 950 years. And very few people became Muslim. We learn from the Quran that even his own son died in the floods because he did not accept the religion of Nuh alayhi salam. So we shouldn't despair, we shouldn't think that we are making the effort of deen. We are inviting people, we are reminding people to turn to Islam, to turn to Salah. We are reminding people of good deeds. We are trying to educate people, but we see that people are not listening or people are not reacting. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever efforts we are doing, whether it's through the Tablighi Jamaat, whether it's through reading to you, whether it's through teaching people, we should continue making our effort. We should continue making our effort and doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our effort, that He is happy with us, and that through these efforts that we are doing, He brings nur and removes darkness. Just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua. Just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua. Inviting towards Islam on the battlefield. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never fought anyone until he invited him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never fight any nation until he already conveyed the da'wah of Islam to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Muslim battalions to first gain people's confidence and then invite them to Islam. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Aida radiallahu anhu narrates that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched a battalion, he would brief them thus, gain the confidence of the people and do not attack them until you have called them to Islam. If you bring to me the residents of every baked and unbaked home of every city and village on earth as Muslims, it would please me more than you killing their men and bringing their women and children to me as captives. Nowadays, we don't go to battle with people, but we do have interactions, we do have meetings with people. So when we meet people, our maqsad, our purpose should be as well, regardless if it's for business, that regardless if it's for some other issues, our maqsad, our purpose, our intentions should be that before we leave this person or while we are talking to them, that we show them Islam. Maybe through our actions, maybe through our tongues, maybe to calling them towards Islam, calling them towards reading the Quran, calling them towards following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We may find this difficult and strange, but as we start doing it, this will become normal. We meet someone, we talk to them. If they are Christian, we talk about Isa alayhi salam. We tell them that, you know, we also believe Isa alayhi salam. We explain to them the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he sent every single prophet. And how each of those prophets in their people, they were nobodies. How those prophets alayhi salam, they were not the leaders of the community. And that same sunnah can be found Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We explain to them what the Quran says. We explain to them what the Bible says. We explain to them what the Quran says about so many of the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. We explain to them what the Quran says about Isa alayhi salam, who they call Jesus. When we meet people, we should create a conversation with the intention that we can lead us to reminding them, to calling them towards Islam, to telling them what Islam is. And this is when we meet non-Muslims. When we meet Muslims, we should also make the intention that we will give them dawah towards Islam. We will give them dawah towards being better Muslims. And this dawah will not only be for them, but it will also be for us. And how to give dawah? Not only through the words, but through our actions. The actions we do, what the amal we do, this all, the habits we have, the respect we show people, all this is a dawah towards Islam. When we are Muslim, people will see this as Islam, and these actions will represent Islam. And when we have this intention and we come out with this, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will bring results. He will bring results. If not then, if not at that time, maybe a week later, maybe a year later, maybe 2 years later. Sometimes we do something today, we do not know how many people it has impacted. The good we do today, we don't know how many people it has impacted. We may meet someone after 15 years and they will tell us, you know, one time we met and you told me this advice and you gave me this advice. Today, I have changed my whole life because of the advice you gave me 15 years ago. And that advice that we may have given them, we may have even forgotten by them. We may not even realize that we told them. It was in passing that we had the intention of doing dawah, we had the intention of calling people towards good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time put those words in our mouth, that from our tongues flowed the words that would guide this person, that would become a means of guiding this person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then guided that person. And after 15 years or 20 years, when we meet that person, they are telling us, oh, you know, once you told me this, and since then I've changed my life. This is the power of calling people towards good. This is the power of calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the power of calling people towards Islam. And this is what we have to generate within ourselves. We have to practice this. When we meet someone, whether it's a relative, bring the conversation back to Islam. They will take the conversation somewhere else, we bring it back to Islam. Sometimes we meet friends, family, they're into football, they will start talking about football. We try and bring that conversation back to Islam. We maneuver it and we try and bring it back towards Islam without being forceful, but slowly, slowly bringing the conversation back to Islam, being able, becoming such that we are approachable to people. So people can come to us, and then if they want to ask questions about Islam, they can ask questions, what is this, what is that? So look here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is advising them that you are going to war. When you go to war, first give them dawah. Your responsibility is that first you give them dawah, call them to Islam. Call them to Islam, maybe they will accept. If not all of them, maybe some of them will accept. Because the purpose is to bring people to Islam so they realize the truth and they can be saved from the hellfire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructs the commanders of Muslim troops to convey the message of Islam. Hazrat Buraida radiallahu anhu narrates that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed someone as commander of Muslims' troops, he would instruct him to fear Allah with regard to his personal actions and advise him to be good towards those those under his command. Furthermore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would brief them with the following words: when you face your mushrikeen enemies, invite them to accept one of three options. Should they accept any of these, you may not engage them in battle. First, invite them to accept Islam. If they accept, you should accept this from them and refrain from fighting them. You should then call them to move from their places to the home of the Hajireen. Inform them that if they do this, they shall enjoy the privileges of the Muhajireen and will have to fulfill the same responsibilities that the Muhajireen do. However, if they refuse to move and prefer their homes, inform them that they will fall in the category of the Muslim villagers. Allah's commands that apply to the Muslims shall apply to them, but they will have to share in the spoils of they will have no share in the spoils of war unless they fight together with the other Muslims. If they refuse this option, ask them to pay the jizya. However, if they refuse even this, seek Allah's assistance and fight them. If you lay siege to a fort and the enemy asks you to allow them to leave on Allah's terms, do not allow it because you have no idea what Allah's terms are. You should rather allow them to leave on your terms. You may then decide what the terms should be. From this we understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not just, you know, people say Islam was spread Islam was spread by the sword. That the Muslims, they just are violent people. What do we see here? What do we see here? That as the Muslims were conquering other countries, other lands around them and inviting them to deen, they did not tell them, accept Islam or you will die. No, they gave them options. They gave them options that let us rule over you. You pay us taxes, we will rule over you. The first option they gave them, you accept Islam. They gave them three options. Only when they rejected, that is when they went to war with them. It's only when they rejected. This was very common there. In the time of, in those days, the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people expand not the empire, but they would expand by slowly moving into other lands, neighboring lands. And the aim and target of the Muslims were not to expand the empire, but to invite people to Islam. To invite people towards Islam. That's why we see that in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had conquered so much, yet when you see him, you would not know this is the person that has conquered so much. He has dunya, yet dunya you cannot see on him. He has the world in his hands, yet you cannot see the world in his hands. You cannot see any sign of dunya. This is why when he went to Jerusalem, when they seen him, they knew that we cannot bribe this person. We cannot bribe this person. He has everything he needs, yet it looks like he doesn't need anything. He has everything he needs, yet it looks like he needs nothing. He's in need of nothing. And this is how we should be also in our life, that we need to slowly remove our connection from dunya. The more we start getting connected to dunya, slowly, slowly, the more love we will have for it, the more it will distract us from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more it will distract us from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu not to fight until he had invited the enemy to Islam. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once dispatched Hazrat Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu as commander of a battalion to fight a battle. Thereafter, Rasulullah sent a messenger with instructions to draw close to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with the message and not to call it out from a distance. The message was that he should not engage in battle until he had invited the enemy to Islam. Until he had invited the enemy to Islam. He gave the option to the enemy for a peaceful end. That this is your option. Accept Islam. That you accept Islam. And this was a time when other people, other nations, they were after dunya. They would just come in and plow through and they would take over and they would take whatever they wanted. But what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offering them peace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only offering them peace, but protection of Islam also. Join us either by accepting Islam or letting us rule over you and we will protect you. And protect you. In a time where there was no laws, in a time where there were no laws, there was no principles in the world. But Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving these people protection. Today, what do we say? That Islam is a religion of cruelty, yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was offering people protection, that we will protect you. Subhanallah. Hazrat Ali Hazrat Ibn Rahway Rahmatullah Alayhi narrates that Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once sent him somewhere as commander of a battalion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then instructed another person thus, join up with Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, and without calling him from behind, tell him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands you to wait for him and that you should not fight anyone until you have invited them to accept Islam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu an has also mentioned that when Rasulullah sallallahu sent him, he never said never fight a nation. He sent him, he said, never fight a nation until you have invited them to accept Islam. The narration of Hazrat Sahal bin Saad radiallahu an, as reported by Bukhari and others, has already passed, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, during the battle of Khaybar, march at a moderate pace until you reach their field. Then invite them to accept Islam, explaining to them the rights due to Allah that are compulsory for them to fulfill. By Allah, if Allah uses you to guide even a single person, it is better than for you than red camels. It's better than for you than red camels. I'm guessing that the value of red camels must have been significantly higher than the normal camels. So if people bring Islam because of us, because of our efforts, it is more valuable. It is better for us than the value of those red camels. So when we see people, whether they are non-Muslim and they hate Islam, we shouldn't immediately start fighting with them, start arguing with them. We should make an effort to explain to them. Maybe they have been informed for the Islam. The Islam that they have been informed is incorrect. Maybe they have informed the Islam that they have been informed of is incorrect. So we should explain to them, if we see someone that he is hating on Islam and he's speaking ill of Islam, and we get an opportunity to talk to them, then without going in too much detail, without going into too much depth, we do our duty and try and call him towards Islam. Our maqsad is not to make him Muslim. Yani, that is not in our power. Our maqsad is to invite him. Maybe at the time he may not realize, maybe later when he is sitting down, when he has calmed down and he is thinking, and he is drinking his tea, or he is reading something, and he will think about that instance when that person, he came to me, I was bad-mouthing his religion, yet he tried to explain to me what Islam is. Yet he told me, he informed me that I should read the book. Maybe I should read the book and see what this person was trying to say. We don't know whose hearts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will touch through us, through our efforts. Whose hearts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will touch, we do not know. And for whomever guidance is written, they will be guided. If we are part of that effort, then alhamdulillah. If we are part of that effort, then alhamdulillah. As it says here, it is better for us than red camels. So this is the effort that we should be making for deen. Constantly inviting people towards good deeds. When we are going out, have the intention that we are going out, we will call people towards Islam. We will call people towards deen. Sometimes we say, I'm on holiday, why should I invite people to Islam? No, Islam is not a duty. Islam is not something we are doing as a burden. It is a duty. It's not something we are doing as a burden. We are doing it because we love our deen. We are doing it because we want to save others. We want to be a means of saving others from the fire of hell. If we take it as a burden, then every opportunity we'll think, no, today I've invited people, I don't need to invite this person. If we have this mentality, that means we are taking it as a burden. Do it out of love. We should do it out of love. We should practice Islam because we want to practice Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of guidance for other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us strong on Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us strong on our a'mal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bring other people who will guide us. People who will give us more understanding of deen. People who will teach us more about Islam. This is the most important thing, that we stay strong and firm on our deen, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to stay strong on this. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.